Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text for our meditation this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of Jesus Christ, the true light, amen. When I was a junior in college, I was living in a house just down the road from campus, and I used to bike to and from school regularly, weather permitting, of course. Sometimes, if I happened to be on campus in the evenings, the return trip home was often much later at night, after the sun had set. And sometimes things would get, let's say, rather sketchy. As I would ride my bike down Ingram Drive and off campus, my surroundings would change rather quickly. No longer was I riding beneath the lights of street lamps. Rather, I was now going through a patch of darkness where there was no public light anywhere nearby. The darkness felt like a pillow being thrust over my head. One time as I was riding down this patch of darkness, a dog came up out of nowhere and started barking at me, and I almost fell off my bike. It's times like these, when things are at their darkest, that you learn to appreciate the importance of light. Without light, we wouldn't be able to do much of anything. We wouldn't be able to get any work done, much less do our daily activities. It's hard to imagine what life would be like without light. In this morning's text, John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was to be the forerunner of the coming light, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. John was to go throughout the land of Judea proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, John's mission was not an easy one. Many Jewish people at that time, and especially the Pharisees, considered themselves to be better than everyone else. They thought this because of their lineage and all the God-given laws that they had. But John saw right through their self-righteous attitudes. He called them a brood of vipers because darkness had engulfed and poisoned their hearts and would not let the light in. This is why John explains in our text, "He, the light, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." This coming light of whom John was speaking would shine forth to the Pharisees, exposing the corruption that consumed their hearts. For this reason, they rejected the light of the world. They were content in the state they were in. Satan had a firm grasp over the Pharisees. They wanted to continue living in their own self-righteousness. So what do we take away from all this? Pharisees, bad, so what? Looks like I'm off the hook for this morning's chapel. Well, not so fast. This light of warning shines even to us today. When was the last time you turned on the light and searched the depths of your own heart? Did you find yourself thinking lately that you've been pretty good? You haven't fallen into any obvious sins. Well, this is one of the devil's most favorite traps. He wants you to focus on the things you have not done against God's law, but make you forget the things you are not doing that God wants you to actively do. Use the light of the word to expose the corruption of your heart. Hidden deep inside, is there that one sin that no one knows about? Sealed away in the hollows of your heart and your conscience. We all have them. Are you bitter about some wrong of a former friend? Do you find yourself lusting behind closed doors for someone? The reality here is that, in fact, in stark contrast to our many sins, Jesus, the light, stands perfect against them. His perfect light exposes your sins. You can hide them all you want, but God knows them all. Like a scene in a heist movie where the burglar is finally caught and trapped in the search helicopter's lights, we have been caught red-handed at the crime scene of our sin. So here we all are, totally exposed, totally ashamed before the almighty throne of God. What are we to do? Well, we, in our depravity, turn to the only thing we have left, the Word. It is in the Word that we read, there is another purpose for the light of the world. And for us, it is nothing short of a miracle. The light of Jesus also shines to transform your heart. We read in verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God has known us before you and I were even born. He knew the hopeless state we would find ourselves in, and this is why he sent the light into our world. When we find ourselves traversing down the pitch-black road of our sinfulness, not knowing where to turn or what sort of beasts are hiding behind the corner or under a bush to destroy us, God gave us a light to follow. Where there was no hope, God provided hope through his Son. Jesus, in his perfection, was filled with nothing but love for sinners like you and me. This perfection and love took Jesus all the way to the cross. It carried him through all the misery and torment that hell could muster, including the worst punishment of all, being forsaken by God the Father. But at his death, when to Satan, it looked like he had finally snuffed out that light, it came back blazing, roaring brighter than ever that glorious Easter Sunday when he rose victorious out of the tomb. This is what the light of the world means for sinners like you and me. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God gives you the right to become his child. Your sins have been nailed to the cross of your Savior. They have been fully washed and forgiven because you have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And what a glorious thing it is to be born of God. He gives you his Holy Spirit who works in you. He gives you his own light to be reflected off of you. So, I don't know if you've been feeling bright at all this morning, but you should, because you are. As a matter of fact, it can probably safely be said that there's no brighter assembly before which a person could stand than the one right here this morning. Bright, because you have the light of the world reflecting off of you. It's a brightness that can be seen in anyone who confesses Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says of his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." You are the light of the world. Christians are so bright, Christ himself simply calls them light. He doesn't say you possess some light or you're kind of like light. No, he says you are the light of the world. So shine. Shine as a type of reflector that stands out in the midst of darkness of this sinful world. Shine reflecting Christ's glory and the glory to God alone. The light of Jesus is a light that will always be shining. He shines as a warning to complacent hearts, exposing the darkness of man's sin. He shines dispelling that darkness and transforming the hearts of his people from enemies to his dear children. And this Advent and Christmas season, remember, his light reflects off of you too. Because God miraculously transformed you, you are now called to be a reflection of Christ's light, so that others too may escape the terror of darkness and be received into God's family through faith, just as you have. May the light of our Savior ever shine in our lives as we glorify Him. Amen. We now sing of the light of the world coming to us in hymn 63, verses 1, 2, and 5. Thank you.